coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is Tuesday, July 18, 2023. How'd you like yesterday's program, Jack Cash Show, 27 years after TWA Flight 800, 230 people perished in that. That was a good show, I'm telling you, okay? Look, I know there's different theories out there, but I've got to tell you, with the documentation I saw, based on his book, TWA 800, which is now in paperback, okay? I can tell you that I believe, on balance, that was our missile, okay? Look, I know you don't want to believe it, but that's that, okay? That's point number one. Point number two, please, I'm asking everyone again, listening and viewing this broadcast, please subscribe to Rumble and Brighteon. Rumble and Brighteon, okay? It increases our visibility. It does a lot for us. It helps us. It doesn't cost you anything. And you're not going to get spammed or anything like that. That way you can also leave comments. I do read the comments. Sometimes I respond to the comments. And number three, this is a bit of news. Okay, we have, and I say we collectively, Stan Deo, Steve Quayle, others, and then you go to a different venue, pure political, like Steve Bannon and others. We have the globalists, and Alex Jones, of course. We have the globalists, unelected bureaucrats on the run. Now, having said that, I would expect something very, very untoward, very bad to happen. Either a black swan event or a deliberate situation. My thinking is a third indictment against President Trump for the January 6th Fedsurrection and an arrest to keep him away from, out of the Oval Office. That's my thoughts. Now, with more good news, with more news is Stan Deo. StanDeo.com. He is the man. I'll tell you what. He's been watching with sunglasses. The sun recommends SPF 936 out there for you. I felt like something breezed by my head. Apparently, there was a near hit of an asteroid. Not really. Well, the near hit. And some other things as well. Go to StanDeo.com. The link will be in the program description box. And folks, if you haven't done this already, don't just bookmark StanDeo.com. Do that. Bookmark StanDeo.com. But bookmark HagmanPI.com. That's where, from HagmanPI.com, you can go anywhere you want. Oh, yes, absolutely. All right, with me, StanDeo.com. Oh, and by the way, EMPShield.com. If you haven't done this already, prefacing this program, you need an EMP shield. Why? So your house doesn't catch on fire with an EMP, whether it be by the sun or by an adversary, whatever the case might be. Your car, get one for your house, your car, your boat, your RV, you know, that there, Clark, is an RV. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. And right now they're having a Freedom sale. Look on your screen, 10% off your entire cart. Go to empshield.com/Hagman. Use promo code Hagman. But even if you don't want to do that, 10% off your entire cart shop now. Please do that for the sake of your equipment as well as your house. The rest of the time, I'm turning over to Stan. I'm going to go have a cup of coffee. No, I'm kidding. Stan, how are you?
I'm fine, Doug. Good to see you.
Nice to see you as well, sir. You're looking great.
You know, I say good to see you. Let me add to that. Last week, about 7 days ago, I had cataract surgery on this eye. Yeah. And I can actually see you. Oh, dear me, me. Anyway.
Wow. Well, yeah, I gestured somebody who had cataracts, and the person said, hey, I saw that, and I thought, oh, you can't see that possibly. And the person said, yeah, I had cataract surgery. So anyway, I'm kidding, of course, but, you know, I'm glad that you can see better now, right? I mean.
Well, look, on the way back from the surgeon last week, driving down the highway, I could see telephone poles distinctly over 3 miles away.
Really?
Isn't that? Yeah. I mean, wow. I thought, I didn't even realize those were there out in our neighborhood. Yeah, I was up on the top of the hill looking, you know, 3 miles down.
Wow.
And right now I'm looking at the screen, and they only did my right eye so far. And, you know, I can read the text and everything without glasses. Fascinating stuff.
Wow. Now, was it painful?
No. I mean, I had some eye drops that burned for about 10 seconds. And other than that was the only pain I had in the whole thing.
Fantastic. Boy, I'll tell you, science has come along.
Hold on a second, what? Oh, yeah. Holly just told me, because she had hers done too, that once you have cataract surgery, they don't come back. One of the first things I noticed was that the cataracts, which are little filaments of stuff that form in your lens, they added a hint to everything I was looking at, kind of like a light sepia tone to everything. And of course, everything was kind of blurry. And so I can compare this eye to that eye, you know, doing this.
Right.
And suddenly I saw the light. I mean, you know, figuratively speaking, of course, I didn't die on the table. But, you know, everything, whites were white, and walls that I thought were cream colored were actually white. And I could see without having to turn on so many lights and stuff, you know. It was just, what a blessing. It's just really incredible. And my surgeon is a lady from India, Samana Kamana, and at Rocky Mountain Eye Center. And she recommended this particular kind of artificial, you know, lens, which is called multifocal. And I can see far, near, medium, and then near. And right now, as I say, I'm sitting about 18 inches from my screen, and I'm reading the fine print on my show images page, which I'm going to reference in a minute anyway.
Wow.
So fascinating stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I don't have cataracts, but sometimes it's difficult for me to see a small print far away, obviously. So I'm nearsighted. It's supposed to be corrected through lenses, but still, man, it's a little difficult to read the fine print. But wow, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad you're fixed up. Because I really think in my heart of hearts, you and I, folks, yeah, I can't say anything, but I think in my heart of hearts, we got some plans. But we'll see what happens.
We've got some what?
We got some plans. I'd love to think that. In my heart of hearts, stay tuned. Okay.
Well, we have to make those plans come to pass if we can before the world blows up. I mean,
And tell us about that, because right before airtime, you're saying about the sun and about an asteroid. And I'm thinking, oh man, you know. So
yeah,
start wherever you want.
Let's brighten the day. Let's go to the show images page off of standeo.com.
There you go.
Under the microphone, click on show images. Okay. We're going to go to the first slide, which is slide 58. And it says, a significant explosion on the sun. We've been waiting for this. Big sunspot AR3363 just produced a significant solar flare, a long-duration M6 class event during this early hours of July 18th. Which is today. It appears to have an Earth-directed component. A NASA model suggests that it could either deliver an effective glancing blow as early as July 20th. NOAA is doing their own modeling, and results should be available soon. And I'm going to various places like this case, it was spaceweather.com. You can see that flare coming off. That is incredible. And what's neat about this is that it was a long duration thing, even though it wasn't like an X-class flare. it was a, you know, like C's and M's. Excuse me. Excuse me. But it was such a long duration. It wasn't just a pulse out like that. It was really several, you know, seconds, minutes of solar time. And this delivered a lot of stuff out ahead of our orbit. So we'll probably catch a glancing blow, the edge of like a smoke ring of plasma ahead in our orbit. If this had been aimed at us, because it's sub-equatorial region of the sun, we would probably have gotten about half of that, maybe two-thirds of it hit the Earth and our power systems and everything else. So it would have been one of those events that we're planning for with these EMP shields. Do get them, like you were saying, avoid any fires in your walls and stuff by having the shield ground this stuff away from your house. For a solar EMP is worse than a nuclear one because it lasts for sometimes hours. Because you see this thing here is throwing out stuff that's going to be getting to us between now, electromagnetic radiation now, and particles in 2 or 3 days. So as you see there on that website, spaceweather.com, they keep pretty much on top of this. And if you look over at slide 59 and click on the picture there, you can see an animation of further out from the sun to see how big this blast was. I mean, I'm impressed. This is big. And we're going to see more of these big, you know, if my forecast is correct, on this solar cycle being a bit of a problem.
If I can ask a question here, does this, okay, do these change the, maybe structure is the wrong word, of the sun? Do these do anything to the sun? In other words, what we're looking at right there, does that automatically mean or have a propensity perhaps for more because there was one? If you get my question.
I think so. The sun itself is the outer atmosphere, but is thinning. It's burned over way over half of its hydrogen fuel supply, according to Russian data in 1958. And because of this, when the large gas giant planets, you know, like Jupiter, Saturn, and Neptune, which is further out, when all those are one side of the sun, they pull the surface of the sun toward them gravitationally. And this spins even further the outer layer of the sun. Now, you know, because biblical prophecy talks about the sun suddenly one day becoming seven times brighter than normal and frying a third of the planet that's facing it, I know that that circumstance, we're approaching that now because the sun is, the surface of it is thinning. And when we're on the thin side, which is opposite of where the planets are, then we can expect severe coronal mass ejections, flares, and that kind of stuff, and long duration events like this one we were looking at here just earlier in slide 58 and in the blue slide of 59. I've been telling you this is going to happen. And if I can just share the screen here, I'll go over here and show you what I'm talking about. Oh, can you activate? Can I do share screen? I forget.
Well, Eric, I'm sorry. Eric, the tech just said, no, we're not set up for that.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, tell Eric the tech to point your browser at theplanetstoday.com, theplanetstoday.com, and it'll show you the position today.
All right. Theplanetstoday.com, folks. There we go.
Okay. All right. Now, you'll see that the Earth is that little blue thing just underneath the sun there, slightly to the lower right. That's where we are now. Over to the right, you have Saturn, Neptune, and Jupiter, and Uranus, four massive planets gravitating. Say again. What do you mean? Uranus. Uranus. I'm going to say it like it is. Holly's correcting, says it sounds better. It's Uranus. My goodness. I'm not going to go woke. It's going to be Uranus. Anyway. okay. So we're now moving into a position where the sun will be to our left here, and the gas giants, the large gravitational planets, will be to our right. And so it'll be bunching up the surface of the sun. Now, I don't think, as I've said several times, I don't think this means we're going to see increased flares and CMEs on that side of the sun, because I think these occur more when you're on the thin side of the sun. So, you know, if you see where the Earth is now, well, move that ahead maybe 6 or 7 months or so, and you'll be over on the left side of the sun, which will be thinning. So in February, March of next year, we should see a lot of solar events that you don't want to see as far as eruptions and things like this. Again, a very good reason to get you an EMP shield to ground the increased voltage from a solar EMP or flare, because those can last hours, not a millionth of a second like a nuclear one, but hours. And that's when you see insulations and stuff like that break down in the walls and in various other things that are insulated out there in your yard. Long exposure to this high voltage, like maybe 40, 50, 60,000 volts, will cause, you know, insulation to break down. So it's a good time to have a shield directing all this stuff down to the ground. And also, I've suggested this before, I'll say it again. Holly and I bought 12 of these smaller fire extinguishers and placed them around the house in various places in case even our EMP shield doesn't catch something on the edge of the property or whatever. And we put them in the car, too, as well. So, you know, if your car doesn't catch fire, maybe somebody else next to you on the road does, so you put out the fire. Just being, you know, proactive for these kind of events. We're coming into the season that I've been warning about for a long time. Now then, Eric, if you'll go back to showimages.com, and we'll see what we've got here today.
Right.
Okay, click on slide 60 when you get there.
Slide 60. For those following at home, and if you're listening to this on Spreaker or whatever, go to HagmanPI.com and you can watch it right there, or Rumble or Brighteon. There you go.
Yeah, Holly clued me to this site today, first time I'd seen it, but it looks like a very good amateur radio station. I think it's down in Australia, if I remember correctly. Is that right? Oh, she's gone, sorry. Anyway, I'm going to start visiting this every day because it's got all kinds of data, movies, single shots, you know, the state of coronal mass ejection, that kind of stuff. If you can scroll down through it, you can see what I'm talking about. Fascinating sight. So that's a one-shot thing that you can do every day, solarham.net, and see all this stuff. This is incredible. Anyway, I'm going to be visiting that myself, as well as SDO at NASA. Skip down now to slide 53, Eric. Now, slide 53, we have a picture of the sun. Actually, I think we may have an animation. Let me see. Yeah. If you click on the picture, you'll see an animation of a dark plasma plume coming out of a thing aimed at us. Now, this is not a thing to be worried about, as it says there. Some unremarkable little sunspot, et cetera, emits this. But the plasma coming out of it was actually cooler than, you know, normal. And so it shows as a black cloud coming out, but nothing, you know, to be worried about. It's actually cooler than one that be earth directed and hot, yellowy, and you know, fearsome. But you can read all about that in the read here at the bottom of that slide 53, where if you click on that, it goes to spaceweather.com and they explain the dark eruption on the sun.
Interesting. Okay. Wow.
Right.
Active
and now
sun.
We're going to.
Active sun.
Yeah. Now, another thing that you may not be aware about there, but periodically the sun has has the phone. Okay. The sun connects with the Earth. Oh, yeah. Sorry. And let me just click on slide 47. On the picture, click on the picture, slide 47. Now, what you see there is an artist rendering of the sun down at the bottom connecting to the Earth's magnetic field, electromagnetic field too, with a tube. and it's a tube that connects periodically. And it allows energy from the sun to just port straight into our electromagnetic system of the planet. And this occurs quite frequently during a week or a day. It's called a magnetic cylinder. It's a portal, a direct connection to the sun. And if you click on the text, that takes you to the article about how they connected straight to the sun. That's on NASA Science. A fascinating thing that I wasn't really totally aware of how frequently this occurred. I knew we had these portal tubes form, but yeah. So anyway, you can have a look at the text part of that, and you'll see more on this. Okay. Let's look a little bit at the Middle East in slide 56. This is Mohammed bin Salman, Prince Salman. He's been talking about making peace with Israel, over the Palestinian issue as well. And he's also been making overtures of peace with Iran. They're now buddies. And Iran is a mortal enemy of Israel. I don't know how this is going to play out exactly, but Mohammed bin Salman is telling that he will make this peace deal with Israel, based upon some things that he wants the United States to guarantee. The first demand, I think of three, is a security guarantee for the United States, comparable to NATO's Article 5 commitment to Saudi Arabia. Additionally, the Crown Prince seeks access to advanced weaponry, including F-35 aircraft, as well as approval from Washington for Saudi Arabia to independently enrich uranium. These demands illustrate a high price that Prince Mohammed bin Salman expects for moving forward with the normalization process with Israel. And so, you know, to get peace between Saudi Arabia and Israel, this guy is wanting, you know, weapons that could attack Israel, and to be able to make nuclear bombs, you know, uranium enrichment, things like that. Unfortunately, you can't trust an Arab in a deal. They always have the option to lie, which they frequently do, and don't honor terms of agreements. This is a concern because giving this little guy, you know, access to this kind of weaponry, and then he's going to make a peace deal with Israel, you can expect him to break it immediately. Remember, Saudis were responsible for 9/11. It was terrorists that were trained, you know, and financed out of Saudi Arabia. Even though MBS didn't do it, but it was still a Saudi group that did the 9/11 hit on us. And so here we are giving this guy in his country weapons with which he could attack Israel. I don't expect him to attack the United States, but Israel for sure. And at the same time, we're letting Iran, you know, continue to refine their uranium stocks for making a nuclear weapon or nuclear weapons, which they will probably move over to Damascus, where they have missiles already stored and have launched from there before. And the IDF and Iron Dome have knocked them down, thankfully. But we're at a very crucial point in the Middle East negotiations. Now, the United States has been the de facto defender, which the Arab or Muslim countries call the big Satan, that's the United States, protecting Israel against the Middle East threats and against Russia as well. When the United States becomes weak enough that it can't defend, that's now, actually. We have no weapons left and no ammunition, and nobody at the helm, really. It's just a vacant spot up there with some guy moving his lips. But, you know, we aren't being able to defend Israel. So Russia, China, probably more Russia and the Middle Eastern nations around there, like Iran and Pakistan, they want to attack because they know the United States cannot and will not defend Israel at this point in time. So we're sitting on the edge of a cliff here. When we fall over, it's going to be nuclear war. There's just no way around it.
How in the hell? I want to know. With respect to munitions, that doesn't happen overnight, right? It takes a while. At least, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but it would seem to me it would take a while to run out of munitions, and you would see it coming. You would know. Somebody would have to have a ledger somewhere and say, boy, we're getting low on uh, whatever it might be. Is that true? I mean, wouldn't that?
That's true. That's true. Okay. And that's in the hands of the Defense Department, DOD. The Navy has been very vocal about the fact that since, you know, this administration took power here, that we've reduced the number of ships that we have, fighting ships at the sea, and, you know, munitions problems there as well. The Army has made its complaints. The Space Force has made its complaints, and the administration just ignores it and is running everything down. Now, the sad thing about it is, even if say Donald Trump were to be president right this very instant, somehow magically, he could not reverse the low ammunition, low munitions, and low ship count for years. It would take 2 to 3 years to start restocking what they've allowed to run down. Okay. So we're exposed.
When did this drawdown take place? I mean, with this Biden regime only?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Well, mainly now. Mainly. There were some losses in the European theater and in Korea, but
okay.
They've intensified greatly because this administration has cut budgets, you know, ready to pay off college debts, et cetera, instead of defending the country. I mean, somebody elected this guy to protect the United States, but he's definitely not doing it.
Okay. All right. I wanted to, I get it.
Well, you got to, like steel for ships, you know, for hulls of naval vessels. It takes a while to get those blast furnaces up and melting, ore, refining the ore. It's a very long process. And then rolling into plate steels it like a foot thick plates of iron that have to be made, and then lots of them to make a single destroyer or even a destroyer escort. And that's just the Navy things. I mean, we have problems in orbit as well with the Chinese testing their trash clearing sandbags that they blow up there to, you know, remove debris that's in orbit that shouldn't be there. Well, they can also remove satellites that we communicate with, you know, like Starlink and various other things, which is blowing up a bag of sand in orbit in an opposite direction of orbit, which means it'll hit our satellites with grains of sand at over 25,000 miles an hour.
Wow.
You know, this is not good. I mean, one little grain of sand can take down a satellite at that speed.
Think about that, folks. Wow.
Cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, big wow.
Yeah. I had a beautiful listener send me three letters, so nicely done and handcrafted. Wow. Because that's all I was saying for a long time. I'm still saying that, and they're up in my office. But, yeah, it's hard to believe where we're at right now. And you really are outlining the seriousness of this. Go ahead, sir.
Well, okay. On that show images page, look at slide 56, and you can click on the picture if you want, which shows Starlink satellites and their paths up there. But click on the text, and that'll take you to an article. Starlink satellites are dodging objects in orbit thousands of times every month. Get this. They have the ability at the moment, anyway, to change course to avoid things. SpaceX, that's Elon Musk's company, orbital communication satellites perform maneuvers just over 25,000 times in the six-month period between December 1, 2022 and May 21st, 2023. Now, you know, if they're getting at, you know, having to dodge things in orbit, whether it be other satellites or what, I don't know what they're, you know, trash that's left up there. This is serious, because if the Chinese step in and blow these sandbags up, you know, it'll just be like a sweeper going through in orbit in one full cycle. It'll take out a lot of the Starlink satellites, not all, but a lot. And so we're horribly exposed there as far as communications at a civilian level. 1,300 of those 25,000 maneuvers were avoiding debris generated from Russia 2021 anti-satellite weapon. See, they had their own version of what the Chinese have got now, and they blew up something up there, and debris caused by that is still floating around, and so Starlink satellites have had to detect these things and get out of the way. You know, 9% of that trash that the Russians made is still in orbit, and eventually it will degrade and come down to the Earth, you know, burn up in the atmosphere. But this is the seriousness of the thing. We are exposed up there, and it's not a time to cut budgets to Space Force and to the Air Force and anybody else has got satellites floating around up there. On our side, I just can't say how angry I am at the situation. This, we have a traitor in the White House, and those behind him, the deep state, they are definitely traitors. And their objective is to either destroy the United States entirely, and or to weaken it to the point that Chinese, Russian, and Iranian forces can come in and destroy our major cities, steal what they want, and get out of here and leave us as a crippled mess. I mean, you want to wring somebody's neck, don't you?
Yeah. At this point, hearing what I'm hearing now, and of course, we haven't even touched on the other stuff, the southern border, and everything else. So, yeah, it seems like we're screwed right now pretty well. Yeah. And no one is coming to save us. So, it's up to us.
Yeah, everybody wants to come to the United States. You know, when I was in Australia, it was kind of common knowledge if you were going to make a new product and export it from Australia, design it for the American market because, you know, they're rich and they'll buy, you know, all kinds of stuff. And, so everybody in the world was looking at the United States as this great, you know, super power and super consumer. But very shortly, when America completely goes downhill, there are going to be merchants all over the world saying, oh, you know, woe is me, because there's no one, you know, to buy our products, no one to spend all that money on us. And that's like the Bible says about Babylon, actually, that the merchants will throw ash on their head and complain that no one is left to buy their products since Babylon has been destroyed. Which may be us. I don't know. I certainly think we act a lot like a modern Babylon. Mm. We've got multiple religions, multiple languages. We don't even speak a single language in this country. We've got, 190 sub-tongues and whatever here?
I thought I was having a stroke when I was in, I had to stop at Lowe's or Home Depot, one of the two. I heard an announcement. And I couldn't understand a word of it. And I looked at my wife and asked her if I was having a stroke. And she said, no, that's a different language. And I thought, my goodness, you know, it's every.
See, senor, you want to buy some nails?
Oh, hey. My gosh. I mean, it's, yeah. So, yeah, none of this is good. I'm all for, diversity is one thing. However, to the point of, killing yourself, suicidal, what's happening with us is just no.
Well, Alexander the Great, he conquered many countries, and so he had recruits from those countries to join his army.
Yeah.
One of the first smart things he did was he said, look, I can't talk to these guys unless they all speak the same language. So he invented Koine Greek, and he trained all of these foreign troops that he incorporated into that single language so that he could communicate and everything would work properly. And that was a wise decision. Mm. We should do the same thing here, but we're not. If you're coming to America because it's so great and everything, and it depends on us being able to communicate with each other, you know, and understand each other properly. So people that come here should learn our language.
Exactly.
You know, it's a practical thing. It's not racist or anything else. It's just a common sense thing that even Alexander the Great did.
Yeah. And you come here, you leave there, over there, and you come here and you enrich where you're headed. I mean, it's ridiculous. We're going to be a third. We, in some cases, we are. I mean, look at San Francisco and all of these major blue cities. I mean, what hell holes they are. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it is terrible. Sometimes I sit in the evening and I think about the way it was when I was a kid, how we could jump in the car or convertible because didn't worry about things being stolen. And a group of four or five of us would get together and we'd drive over to the local Dairy Queen and get our hamburgers or the local McDonald's later. And, you know, girls would skate out on roller skates with a little tray and put it on the edge of our car. And we could go to drive-in theaters. I mean, it was all nice times. unfortunately, this current last two generations have not had the benefit of knowing what America was like then. So they don't know what they're losing by becoming, you know, pawns of the communist revolution in this country. And that's what it is. There's socialism, left wing, all that. It's communist revolution. And it's going to be jerked away from them before they've even had a chance to experience the beauties of a free country like we've got.
You make some good points. And people, I don't think people really understand the transgender agenda. Okay, how it's rooted in communism, Marxism, Maoism. All of this, everything that we're seeing today is really to push us toward this communist objective. And it's not ours, it's theirs, like you said, you know, these unelected leaders. So, yeah, we're in a world of hurt. And what it sticks with me, what you said, even if we had somebody like President Trump come back in or whoever, they can't fix it in the time needed that needs to be fixed. So, folks, think about that. I mean, what have we done to ourselves or allowed in our name to have done for to ourselves? So,
I know. It's a sad thing. I'm sure that the left will be putting counter intelligence out to the people, counter news, fake news, which will be saying that, remember the days of the McCarthy era where people were in Hollywood, they were communist sympathizers, members of the Communist Party, were being disavowed and fired and, you know, in some cases arrested. You know, I thought it was a good housekeeping effort. My dad and I have been, you know, happy about that. We were in the past when he was alive.
But McCarthy was right. You know, the House Un-American Committee, and then McCarthy, they were right. They were correct. I mean, they were.
Oh, my dad stayed after World War II was over for 2 years over in Abadan, what's now Iran. With the British commander and his troops, they shared a base there, and I talk about it on our website on Stan's Corner. I think that's about my dad and his group there. They agreed with the Army General Patton. They agreed with him that we should have kept on going and hit the Russians then, while they were weak, before they could spread communism. And so to that end, what my dad and his men and the British commander and his men were doing is, after the war ended, they took off their, you know, military uniforms for their country and made fake ones with fake patches that made it look like the U.S. and the Great Britain were still there in the Middle East guarding the oil fields to keep the Russians from taking with that time. So it was a bluff. And they would go out every morning, fire the cannon, raise the flag. They would take flights in and around the areas of the Middle East. And so the Russians thought that we were still there, even though the White House at that time was saying, you know, we're not there anymore. And well, of course, this is privately funded. And Howard Hughes would send a plane over through TAA at Trans World Airlines, TWA, every Friday with cash to pay all the soldiers for staying there after the war was over. It was so important for those of us who knew what was happening, or of them, that they financed this operation to hold the Russians back in spite of the White House. And that was back then. And now, of course, if you were Biden's administration in the same situation, you know, we'd be sunk.
Yeah.
I don't understand how people can be so blind to what's happening to them. You know, they if they're getting their morning coffee, you know, latte or whatever, and can play their games, they're happy. They don't look beyond that to realize it's all going to collapse if they don't act to defend the country. Anyway,
oh man, Stan, let me ask you a unscripted question. Do you think we are going to make it, or do you think we are going to have a 2024 election, general election?
Oh boy, that's a good question. It's hard to answer because I can't see us going much further before China and Russia come after us.
That's what I thought you'd say.
I mean, you don't have to look at prophecy, just look at current events. I mean,
yeah. And I base that question on what you said earlier, thinking about the munitions, thinking about the lack of preparation, the readiness. We're not nowhere near the readiness that we're at. And I do believe that we have traitors within our military, within our executive, in all branches of government, but specifically in our military. And I think this is all part of the plan, sir.
It is. And as we've discussed before, you can change the president and some of the members of Congress, but you have a great deal of trouble getting rid of all of the embedded left-wing pro-communist people that have been appointed to positions from, you know, postmaster, you know, at local level all the way up to the DOD. These people are entrenched and they've been there for years. And so just changing the top of the system doesn't change the system. It's been a long, gradual process that China and Russia have both involved themselves in to put traitors all through our government, you know, pawns to do what they want. And they can spend money with gay abandon. They probably print their own U.S. money. But, you know, so we are, as you said, screwed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't want to divert your agenda here. So wherever you want to go next, folks, Standeo, standeo.com, and also the show images page. Both, if you go to HagmanPI.com, open up the description for today. All of these will be in there, the links to standeo.com and the show images. Go ahead, sir.
All right. On the solar thing, slide 57, if you click on that, Eric, it's the Internet apocalypse in 2025, ? Solar storm may bring worldwide Internet outage. Again, what I've been talking about for a long time. It says the sun is anticipated to enter a phase known as solar maximum within the next couple of years. This period is characterized by heightened solar activity and has raised concern about a potential Internet apocalypse. Now, we've had solar maximums, you know, what, about 3-4 times in our lifetime here, and it hasn't hit our Internet, et cetera. The Washington Post said the current digital infrastructure is ill-equipped. Infrastructure, that's like power lines and communications to handle the consequences of severe solar storms, which have the capacity to disrupt global communication networks. This renewed attention to the sun's solar cycle emphasizes the potentially devastating impact on Earth's communication systems. Now, you stop and think about it. Everybody, you know, has phone and, you know, iPads or you know, various types of laptop things, and they check the Internet probably daily, several times a day, for weather, for products to buy, and that kind of stuff. When this stops, a lot of jobs stop at the same time that are dependent upon Internet communications. So economically, it's a terrible thing if this happens and breaks down our comms network. We'll be flying blind. You know, you won't be able to get, you know, urgent warnings from, say, like further developments on the sun or from, you know, attack by China and Russia and possibly Iranian troops from the Atlantic. This is important. And why are they saying this now? You see, yeah. Is this just to worry people or what? I mean, what's the reason they're now saying this solar cycle maximum? Look out. Well, I've said this again and again. If you were in charge of major countries in the world, and your scientists told you, look, this solar cycle is probably going to be a really bad one. It's probably going to throw off a portion of the surface of the sun during this solar maximum, and it's going to have coronal mass ejections and flares that could destroy our whole network of communications and, you know, bring our countries down. Would you, as a leader of these major nations, say this to your people and say, look, there's no hope. Go cut your wrists because it's coming. I mean, this is dumb. Right. You would do as they're doing and make unofficial leaks, like myself, who can come out and should we cause too much panic by what we're saying, they can disavow us, cut our Internet or whatever. But the point is, you wouldn't make it an official announcement because of the anarchy it would produce. It would destroy the planet, you know, our civilization. So I hate to defend their actions, you know, the globalists, but knowing what I know, I understand why they aren't saying this officially. It just doesn't make good sense, does it?
No. There's no good answer for that, in my opinion, at the moment. However, look, I like truth and transparency over what we're seeing right now, okay? But I do understand what you're saying. So, yeah, this presents a lot of problems. I mean, a lot of problems.
This is why Tim and I invented, you know, the EMP shield, which has now gone through all kinds of innovations for larger users of power, military and DOD and government. This Internet Apocalypse article says NASA remains silent. That's, you know, as I said, I would probably do the same thing. The term Internet Apocalypse has gained attention among social media users, resulting in a flood of misinformation and unverified warnings purportedly from NASA. However, the American Space Agency has not made any official statements as of now regarding the possibility of the 2025 solar storm causing the end of the Internet. Not a harm to it, but the end of it. You know, it says, however, speculation has arisen regarding the implications for the always online population. If such an event were to occur, are these concerns merely exaggerated hype? The Washington Post suggests that they are not entirely baseless. So you see, it's a soft, reasonably soft approach to telling people, hang on, you know, it's coming and it's not going to be good. Just, and you know, you and I have both been telling people, get your EMP shields.
Yes.
And right now, my partner, Tim, is over in Kansas at the factory there. He's been negotiating with the government under the CHIPS Act as well to get more funding for our chip factories to try to have a backup to Taiwan, because the Chinese are going to take Taiwan. And no matter, you know, it's just the old argument is not when, you know, if, but when. They're coming for Taiwan. And we can't possibly get all the materials that we need to make all the chips to replace what we get from Taiwan in time to avoid losing the chip industry and our weapons and whatever. Think about this. So many of our weapons in space are not just weapons, but data collection satellites and our communications across the United States and all kinds of things, internet, have chips that were made in Taiwan, but they could have been compromised by China. You know, to, you know, at a moment's notice on a certain day, make all those chips not work. And our military armaments and stuff, a lot of them get chips that were made with minerals that were coming from China to Taiwan. And China does supply a lot of the basic chip industry stuff as well. So how crazy it is to have your enemies. And let's face it, the Chinese are our enemies, and so are the North Koreans. But how crazy is it to use chips they supply to us? Our company, you know, the EMP Shield Company, we stopped using any subcomponents even in our devices that were made by China for that reason. We're sourcing only U.S. or U.S. territory manufactured, you know, chip components or you know, EMP Shield components because of that. I wish this wisdom would permeate the DOD and the three-letter agencies of our government more than it has. But, you know, it takes time for that, too.
Well, you got to start sometime, and we should have started a long time ago. Let's do it now. I mean, everything that we need, we should manufacture right here on our soil and be independent. We should be energy independent. We should be making the chips, everything that we need, we should be making it here. That's my take on things. And I don't care about labor. I don't care about the costs. Can we, real quick, wouldn't it be just as simple, for example, Taiwan, move everything, the factories, whatever, move them here? I mean, let's just get a moving boat instead of a moving truck and just move them here. Can we do that?
Well, there are a lot of complications to that. Diplomatic relationships with Taiwan as well would hamper that kind of an activity, because you're taking the income away from Taiwan by moving them back over here. And even if you could, if negotiate such a thing, the problem is that the time required to get these factories over here and get them functioning, we're talking in years.
Oh, man.
We don't have years. Yeah. I was watching a thing on the satellite here the other day about American-made, you know, how is it made type things. And American Bill. Was that Stuart Varney? Yeah, Stuart Varney, yeah. And I was looking at World War II and the activation of our iron factories, you know, manufacturing plates for ships and all that kind of stuff, how long it took. We're talking a couple of years, even though it was wartime and everything was, you know, flat to the wall to get it done. The chip manufacturer is the same way. You just can't push a button and in a month or two or three, we're talking years to get an established supply line for the components, established manufacturing and assembly lines and training personnel. It's just, again, I say, and I agree with you, we are screwed.
Yeah, I've got nothing. I got nothing. Except that we got to start. We better start doing something right now. Go ahead, sir.
Well, back onto the solar events or solar system events. Slide 52. It's not a major thing, but an asteroid was first detected on last Saturday, which was 2 days after its closest point to Earth. In other words, we didn't even know it was out there and coming past us. It's about 200 feet in length. And if that had been coming a lot closer, we could have had satellite loss and damage and perhaps, a nasty bit on the surface of the Earth. Now, it's not, an Earth-directed threat at the moment. But my point is, it's one of those large things that could do damage that we didn't even know existed until after it had passed us. I mean, okay, that requires, more money and technology and sensors, deep space sensors, to find these things before they're that close. But we don't have the money for that because we're paying off college debts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Priorities.
Priorities. Now, another interesting thing, too, in slide 46, it's a map of the United States showing earthquakes that occur around the Craton Edge, which is that foot that the whole United States sits on. Yeah, there you go. Seeing that picture, you see those earthquakes around the left side there, and they are around the border of the Craton. Now, why is that important? Well, let's see. West of that Craton is where we have California, the San Andreas Fault, and a lot of other fault lines. And it's showing that we are having separation issues with the foot, with the North American Craton. This is not good. It's unstable, and it means that we're going to see a release of these major fault lines over on the west side of the United States and possibly northeast United States where that one arrow goes up to the edge of the foot, because we're having, a lot of 2.5, 2.3 earthquakes up there, indicating that the junction to the Craton with our crust where the United States sits is under stress and releasing it with smaller quakes. This is something that we can't do anything about, but it's probably going to be something that helps to weaken us against a foreign takeover.
Man.
Yeah. And we're not the only one with problems like that. And slide 48, if you click on that, it takes you over to New Zealand. And it shows you earthquake news. And there's a video there on that page, just down just a bit. If you click on the text, I think it is, Eric. And it says New Zealand's plate boundary. And it's worth seeing that video. Click on it and maybe make it big screen.
All right. News, yeah, there it is. Wow.
All right, now watch what happens. This is we're worried about this for the North Island and the stress it's going to put on the Lake Taupo supervolcano. Now just watch this here as the plates move. There we go. And it's going to show you the stresses it's building. Now what you're seeing now is the South Island where the separation plate on the Australian side is diving down underneath the South Island, down, right? Now you go to the North Island and you see the Australian plate is moving up over the North Island, which is just putting tremendous torsional stress on the entire New Zealand island chain. See that now? You got up and down and left and right. It's just tearing the country apart, and that's going to release the Lake Taupo super volcano, I'm pretty sure.
That's an amazing graphic. Wow.
It is. And that's, of course, the one that I had the Dream Vision series on, a very accurate one about the eruption of Lake Taupo coming to North Island, New Zealand.
My goodness.
How would you like to live in North Island at the moment?
No. wow. Okay.
Picky. All right, go on. Sorry.
No, I was just, you know, the people there, the loss of life, the damage to property. I mean, obviously, everything that.
I'm not the only one that's been saying this. There have been other Christians who've had dream visions of the same thing. And the native population here, the Maori, their kahuna, prophecy woman, did contact me. She knows, she said, that the North Island is going to be destroyed by the Lake Taupo eruption. Most of it is going to be, you know, burned and destroyed. And she's telling her people that as well. So it's not just me and a couple of other, you know, Christian fellows that you might say, oh, it's just a prophecy thing. But even the local people saying it's going to happen and the Europeans are going to leave North Island. Maybe to South Island, I don't know, but it's about to happen.
Well, that's an amazing thing. We've got about 4 minutes left. I can't believe how much you've covered. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I haven't finished yet. No.
Oh, my.
Starting at slide 43 all the way through 37 through 43 is about the Russian super bomb that we've known about for 50 years, the Tsar Bomba. And you can see at slide 43 a video of the explosion that they recorded at the time. And you can go to the detonation series and see where it happened. Now, you've discovered, they think they've located the crater left by this. This bomb was 1,570 times stronger than the combined power of the two bombs that hit Hiroshima and Nagasaki. 1,570 times greater. It produced a mushroom cloud that was 25 miles broad and nearly 60 miles wide at its peak, producing a yield of 50 megatons, 50 million tons of TNT. That was 10 times more powerful than all the explosives used in World War II combined together. Now, after this happened, of course, there was some sort of an agreement between the United States, Russia, and all the other nuclear powers that have developed since then to not use such a thing, because it left, you could feel this 150, 200 miles away. The windows were broken there in Russia from this bomb detonation offshore. And so this leads you to say, well, okay, if this or a slightly smaller, maybe 10 megaton bomb were to hit your city, what would you do? And if you look at slide 44, it shows you some of the slides from this movie they've made about it. Once people stop maintaining power stations, the grid will go down quickly. This is after an initial blast. And you can click on the word here and watch the video there in slide 44, and it takes you to the whole video. It looks like Twitter's not letting me in today, but there's a video that shows these slides and additional things in the movie about what you need to think about, where you get your fresh water. In slide 45, the last map loaded on your smartphone will continue to help you navigate with GPS for at least 6 months, but after that you won't have GPS navigation. Yeah, in slide 40, slide 40. One of your concerns will be securing safe drinking water to avoid waterborne diseases. And they also say in there that one of the things you're probably not going to be aware of immediately, well, within a day or two, it'll probably start happening. Slide 41 says the stench of rotting bodies fills the air, and unfed pet dogs have formed into increasingly aggressive packs. So, you know, I won't hold you on this any longer here, but these things indicate that you need to get Holly's book, Dare to Prepare, to address some of these issues ahead of the time.
Dare to Prepare is the ultimate preparation manual I'm telling you, folks, if you don't have it, get it. As well as Cosmic Conspiracy, all of the products at standeo.com and the links from that page, that home base, if you will. And Stan, thank you so very much. EMPShield.com. Use promo code Hagman, /Hagman. Use promo code Hagman. Thank you, Stan. I appreciate all you do. Man.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate
a lot of
you
information.
Too.
Folks, that'll do it. Prepare accordingly. Brace for impact. Have a good day.